Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. No longer reason to wait to replace your windows and doors. If you order today, you'll get 0% interest for up to 48 months. That's right, up to 4 years with no interest. You only have until May 31st, though, at Pella, so jump on it right now. Pella Design Works lets you virtually see what your home would look like with your new windows and patio doors before you buy. Vinyl, water, fiberglass, they have all the options to bring your vision to life. 0% interest, free financing up to 48 months if you order by May 31st. Certain restrictions apply. Set a free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Nice.
Well, we've been talking about the crazy things happening at UW Green Bay these days and just all around college basketball. And one of the men who has had his finger in the pulse of college basketball for a lot of years at the top level to pretty much every level, a great friend of mine, former assistant coach at UW Green Bay, Steve Swan. Coach Swan, good morning.
Good morning, John.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear yours. First of all, Steve, did you ever, you were an assistant to the chancellor and different things when my cohort here, Jim Schmidt, was mayor. Did you have any dealings with him at the time?
Not directly, just always admired his work.
Oh, very nice.
Well, thank you. All right. I think John was hoping you were going to say something else. Thanks for saying that, Steve.
That just made his day, Steve.
So,
hey, tell him what Mark Murphy said at the
I was just going to say that. Johnny and I went to the UWGB Steak Fry, and you know that's in the atrium, and 1,000 people there. I mean, they do sell that out. And, you know, obviously the coaches, the chancellor got up and talked a little bit, but then Mark Murphy came up. He's on the board of UWGB, but he just said if there's a job he would not want now, it would be coaching college basketball.
Or athletic director.
Because yeah. He was at Colgate, at Northwestern.
Northwestern and Colgate.
Well, he was really serious. He wasn't trying to make a joke.
There's no tougher job.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know.
What do you think about that, Steve?
Well, I totally agree. I wouldn't want it either. To be honest with you, it's a world that has just fallen apart, in my opinion. And I think now the NCAA is just waiting for the whole thing to implode, and then it's going to lead to a massive reshuffling. I just don't see how it's going to end up any other way.
I would agree. There's just too much going on. It's not coordinated. It's not connected. And that does happen. All of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, this isn't the right thing, and nobody's going to throttle back.
And implodes. This is what you wanted. Here you go. You got it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Steve, one of the things, though, too, the mid-majors that you've been involved with for so long, they are really in such a tight spot. Huh? I mean, 4 days after Green Bay's last game, three of their best players went into the transfer report. I mean, as a coach, you work to develop some of these players, and sometimes the more you develop them, the better the odds are they're going to leave you when you're a mid-major like this. Isn't that crazy? Well,
it is crazy. And it's going to, you know, sadly, in my opinion anyway, it's going to, as I said, lead to a real restructuring where I don't think we're going to see Division I athletics being in the future what we see it being today, simply because it's become a survival of the fittest. Yeah. And the fittest is always, you know, built around financial resources. And I think it's going to leave the lower and somewhat into the mid majors out in the cold. And I think we're going to go back to a very different look than we have today.
And one of the people that could get hurt by this is us, right? UWGB?
Well, I think it's certainly possible. You know, how this whole thing will end up being redefined is anybody's guess. But if you're not in a Power Five conference, I just don't see how you're going to be able to compete at the highest level in the major sports. It just doesn't seem like it's ever going to be an opportunity to be an equal playing field.
And the thing is, you guys took such great pride in finding undeveloped talent, like a Jeff Norgard. Didn't have another Division I scholarship offer. I'm quite certain Gary Gresh didn't have another Division I scholarship offer. Ben Berlowski, I don't think, had another division. And you turned those guys into a top 25 college team. That's where you guys took great pride in, is finding these guys the other schools were overlooking and really helping them improve. And I think those days are gone in some ways, don't you, Steve?
Well, I think there's truth to that, John. If you get a good player at the mid-major now, you can't blame them if they're looking to increase their financial input, if you will. And back in the days that you're referring to, it was about the whole. It wasn't about the individual. And that's what intercollegiate, in my opinion, again, that's what intercollegiate athletics was intended to be, is an extension of the classroom. And, you know, what are we teaching? I don't think we're teaching kids anything through the intercollegiate experience anymore, in terms of the we versus the me. And those guys took great pride in what they could become as a collective, and many times had to make their own individual sacrifices to be able to be a part of that whole. And now it's just, it's coming down to the highest bidder, and the coaches now are... It's almost become more of a management position than it is a teaching position. And, that's a huge difference.
We're talking with Steve Swann, former assistant coach to Dick Bennett for many years. Steve, one other thing I wanted to tell you about, it's like, I remember one time we're on one of the road trips, and I'm never going to mention the name, and we're at a Popeyes, I think it was. And he ordered, and he's like, oh, crap, I don't have enough. And I loaned him, a few bucks to pay for it. And I forget who it was, man, don't mention that. Because, boy, he could get suspended because you gave him $2 to pay for his, chicken nuggets type of thing. And now people can go to this guy, I'll give you a $100,000 check. Yeah. Versus back then, which isn't the dark ages, that $2 could have gotten him in trouble. Isn't that the most 180 you've ever seen in sports history?
Oh, you nailed it, John. We used to be quite literally petrified about what, somebody from the community might attempt to do with one of our players, simply slipping him $20,
yep,
to buy a meal, if you will. And you were always walking on eggshells because you just didn't quite know. You knew your players were interacting with the people from the community, and we wanted them to, but you never knew. You were always worried about what somebody might do, and it was so wrong back then that we couldn't give the players some spending money. And as far as the NIL goes, I think philosophically it's they've gone the right direction. It's the right thing to do. It was just not putting any parameters on it. And now it's impossible to get the genie back in the bottle because of all the potential antitrust actions that could take place if indeed they tried to do that. So, 180, yeah, you're absolutely right, John. It's incredible how much it's all changed.
And I think of, in defense of maybe the players, but, they grew up, these kids are only, 21, 22? They grew up and saw some of the pros becoming a little bit more
sure
me than we.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so maybe, like what you just said, I think needs to be said a little bit more about playing as a team and an extension of the classroom. But you're right, it's not like that. But I just think they saw people going and making these unbelievable contracts.
Well, I
and
can't
that
fault the kids.
Right.
I mean,
okay,
if somebody, if I was 19 and I was working at a Holiday gas station for $2.30 an hour in northern Minnesota, and somebody says, hey, John, if you come to our school, I'm going to give you a $100,000 check. My God, I would just be beyond belief. All I'm saying is it's just so surreal how, and remember, it used to be the joke, Steve, that the smaller schools would always get nailed harder, it seemed, than the big schools. Like there's the old joke, hey, the University of Kentucky was caught, paying off guys, blah, blah, blah. And the NCAA was so mad about it that they put Cleveland State on probation. They wouldn't touch the big schools. And for some reason, these small schools under a microscope. And I saw it firsthand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It's just got to be for you and I and Coach Bennett and all who are from that era. We look at this like, what in the world has happened? You know what I mean, Steve?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. As you just described it, John, it's a literal 180. And I remember back in the day that when the kids were on scholarship, they were not, and most people don't know this, when they were on scholarship, they were not allowed to have a job.
Yep.
that was a direct violation. And so people always said, well, they're so blessed to have a scholarship, to pay for their room and board and tuition. And yes, that's absolutely correct. But you still have to have some spending money. And if you were as a student, if you couldn't have a job, if you couldn't hold a job for that spending money, where was it supposed to come from?
Yeah.
And then we worked exceedingly hard, and the community, Green Bay, was so great in helping us find summer jobs for the guys, because we wanted to keep them on campus. And of course, now, as you said, here's $100,000. Have a good time.
Yeah. I'm sad to hear that. Where do you think it's going to end up? And I know it's funny, but I don't think you guys did enough 25 years ago, and now they're paying for it. You know what I mean? You talk about these extremes, like they should have got some spending money. They should have got something and they got nothing. And now it's like they're taking everything.
Well, and that was all the NCAA.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you talk about incentive for cash. Boy, that's the NCAA. How do you think this thing's going to end up? I mean, you talked a little bit about you don't think these smaller schools, if they're not in a good division, are going to survive. Do you think these players are going to get sick of going from team to team, or do you think we're going to get back to, I mean, there's nothing like winning, and I think that's even better than the money sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going to end up, and I don't think anybody does. I don't think the people who lead the NCAA, and now I'm talking about the college presidents, because they are the people that lead the NCAA, I don't think they know where it's going to end up. And I think that's where, when I made the comment earlier, that I think they're just waiting for it to totally implode.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening. I think the last 48 hours have really been interesting, where the quarterback, Rashada, who is one of the top recruited quarterbacks in the country, and he's been to three schools in 1 year, and he's now suing the University of Florida and the head coach there, and the collective where he was supposed to get his NIL money, because they say he says they reneged on their deal. So we have the first lawsuit going against a collective and against a university. And, I think it's just it's the tip of the iceberg of what's more is to come. And then the whole issue now with the house issue with the NCAA and the universities all banding together, starting to create pots to pay off players who have been denied NIL money in recent years.
Steve, hold that thought. We got to set it to a one-minute break. Can you stay with us?
Yep, sure will.
Steve Swann, former assistant coach at UW Green Bay, back in 1 minute. Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on Wednesday morning. We got Steve Swann, former assistant coach to Dick Bennett, joining us. Interesting stuff. We just lost contact there. We'll talk to him again. But, boy, you want to talk about a guy that really knows
the industry.
Knows his industry,
yeah.
And dealt with it. And is just almost like we are, too, just from people from that era, just almost like in shock with the way the NCAA went from just being so unbelievably, tight on these athletes, where you don't get a single thing. I remember I had to get clearance to have some guys over my house for a cookout.
Wow.
Because they could have gotten suspended for a cookout. That's how crazy it was.
And that
versus
wasn't
now.
That long ago.
No,
that's what you're saying.
What
it wasn't the dark age. I think that's interesting to see,
We're back with Steve Swann. Hey, Steve, one thing I got to ask you, what do you think of UW Green Bay's hire here with Doug Gottlieb?
Well, it's interesting. than anybody else. I don't know if unconventional is the right word, but it certainly helped me realize how old school I've become. Over the years have developed a very stereotypic type of feeling about what a head basketball coach is supposed to look like. And this is a little bit outside the mold, if you will. But it's a different world, and I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know what young athletes are looking for anymore in terms of, a head coaching experience. It's interesting.
Steve, I will say we've had quite a few sports announcers on here, right? We had a couple guys from TV. We had the guy from the Press Gazette. And when you said interesting, Johnny and I started laughing because everybody uses that
That's
word.
That's the first word everybody says. From Scott Vensey to Domofsky to every person, the first Burke.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how that should. But yeah, it was a little bit different than what we're used to here. But, you know, I hope it works.
The only thing I could say, Steve, in favor of it is it's been a long time since the words Green Bay basketball have been used on ESPN and the Washington Post and USA Today. So it does put some light on the program.
Oh, it does. I mean, there isn't any question about that. I mean, it's you know, anytime you have a media personality involved with anything in life, whether it be intercollegiate athletics or whatever, it's going to take on a different look. And it's one that you know, it's thinking outside of the box. And so there's right out of the box, there are going to be some incredibly huge benefits. You know, when it comes to figuring out how it's going to work out, you know, this will be a test of time.
And he's on 200 stations, so I don't know if his audience are 19-year-olds. I've never really listened to him, but they may just want to come and play for him. Forget the city, forget the Packers, forget everything. I just want to play for this guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, he's got the forum to, you know, really promote kids and things like that. No
right.
question about it. Coach or Steve, how do you think Coach Bennett would act in or handle, I should say, today's world of Division I sports?
Well, I think I better let him speak for himself on that one. He's also got a son that's heavily involved.
Right.
You know, it's I'm sure that he, if anybody's kept abreast of it, he is through his conversations with Tony.
Well, I got a text here, by the way, from our buddy Mark over at Bell and Sports Medicine. Coach Swan, one of the best and most genuine people, along with his wife, Karen, who was a nurse at the university. Such an awesome guy. Just got that text.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, you want to come back and run for office? Johnny and I support you.
Where are you, Steve? Oregon or Washington or?
Yeah, I'm in the state of Washington. We live in Bellingham, Washington.
Nice. You know, I remember when we did a road trip out there to play Gonzaga. Remember we played at the University of Idaho and then went to Gonzaga and that whole, and it was like, what a beautiful part of the world that is out there.
Yeah, we feel very blessed to be in the scenic area that we are. We can, you know, we can be up in the mountains in about an hour, and we're about 5 minutes from the Puget Sound. So, you know, it's a very unique area. We're about 50 miles south of Vancouver, BC, and about 20 miles from the Canadian border. So we're right up and tucked up in the corner of Washington.
Beautiful. Good for you.
You guys always say it's always like rainy or overcast in Seattle. I think you just say that so you don't get a lot of visitors.
So nobody comes there.
Because the Puget Sound on a sunny day, that's nothing more beautiful than looking at that or experiencing that. Wow.
Hey, Steve, we got a text here. Any way you could ask him about his opinion on esports? You into esports at all?
I'm really not. Simply no.
Hey, you know, I got to say one thing that's funny. Last time I talked to Coach Bennett, we were talking about a thing with how things have changed for, and obviously Coach Bennett at University of Virginia has been one of the beneficiaries of the incredible increases for the pay for head coaches in basketball, which obviously puts more, I mean, but the Calipari's of the world and everything. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Coach said when he started at Green Bay, he was making $43,000 a year and teaching like three classes at the same time. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. When I started as an assistant coach, I was assistant coach, sports information director, and responsible for promotions.
Wow! And you weren't making six figures,
seven
or seven.
No. Wow!
It's unbelievable
in that short of a time. But yeah, well,
but Steve, you know, one of the things though too, I think you guys have to look back and say, you know what? We were involved in a great era. We were involved when kids played basketball because they really loved playing basketball, and they would spend as much time in the gym as possible, and, you know, there were no real serious distractions. You have to look back and say, we did it the right way, and we did it during a really good time. Wouldn't you agree? At least I feel that way, that I was fortunate enough to be, you know, be a part of it. I feel that way.
And they won.
And you won. But I think we can all look back at the end of the day and say, you know what, we were pretty lucky.
Oh, no question. I think, you know, to me, the best way to measure it is you take a look at what your former student athletes are doing today.
Yeah.
And our guys are really making a big impact in the world in so many different ways. And I believe that, you know, it's a great reflection on the education that they got at UWGB, an education that took place in both the classroom and on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm. That's and Steve, you know, one last quick thing here. You mentioned about Gottlieb being in the media. There could be some big benefits. You know, I think I approached you a couple of times while I was in the media, you know, to be an assistant coach with you guys. Didn't get much of a response. Yeah, it's kind of lukewarm. Can you tell me now why?
Yeah, because Steve knew what he was doing.
Yeah, okay.
Well, John, basically, I was never quite able to forgive you for never. One of my great questions in life was what the N on the water tower in the Gani stand for, and you would never tell me.
Knowledge.
Can you tell me, what is it?
Knowledge.
Oh, thank you.
That's Nugani. Yeah. That's Nugani.
I think I would have been a heck of a recruiter, coach. Yep. I'm just telling you.
Because you had that knowledge.
Yeah. It
starts with an N.
Someday, you know, I was talking about the other night, we met a gentleman, can't think of his name, he runs a PAC in
yes.
But
Appleton.
Yeah, he graduated from Stevens Point in 77. Right. And I wanted to tell him next time we have you on, you have to tell the recruiting Terry Porter story with your Dotson.
Oh, yeah. Well, that. I'm not sure we have enough time.
We don't.
You got a promise to come on again down the road.
All right, we'll do that.
Well, and thanks for getting up early.
Yes.
You got a couple hours out there. But, yeah, this has been great. And, boy, we miss you. But you seem to be loving life out at the Puget Sound. So, yeah, we got to do this again, Johnny.
Great talking to you, Steve. It was wonderful being with you last summer with the little reunion we had at John Martinez's place. And told great stories and great insight. And all the respect in the world for you, my friend. Thanks for just being a super guy.
Likewise, and thank you to you two guys for all you do. Appreciate that.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Steve Swann, former assistant coach at UW Green Bay, back after this.
Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Boy, some great guests today. Brian Johnson, Green Bay Alderman, Ben and Deanna Malcor. Had a wonderful lady, Kristen Ambos, talk about guaranteed rate mortgage. Steve Swann, former assistant coach to Dick Bennett at Green Bay, talk about the crazy days of college basketball. And Todd, you need to introduce this person, see if she can hold up her end of the bargain.
Yeah, Johnny said it's been a...
The bar's high.
We've been hitting them out of the park all day.
It's like following you as mayor.
The quote-unquote bar is high, so who do we bring in? Terry Barr is who we bring in.
There you go.
Media. Oh, my goodness. Okay, now I got to just live up to the introduction there, guys. How are you,
Terry Barr?
I am good, and I hear you had a wonderful time at the Whammies. That's the Wisconsin Area Music Industry Awards, first time ever in Green Bay. You guys sound like you were the stars of the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Pretty much. Glam band tried honing in.
Showing us up a little bit. We're like, hey.
Get them off the stage. You want more Mino in the mirror. That happened a lot.
Yeah, I heard that too, John.
The more
this goes on, the more that's going to happen. So there you go.
Well, Terry Barr, introduce yourself for everybody, for anybody that doesn't remember you back in your days as an anchor and reporter here at Fox 11.
Oh, my gosh. You say that. Now I do feel old, you know. Boy.
Well, I was there together. We were there together, so I feel the same way.
It was the 90s, and those 90s rocked over at Fox 11.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was... fortunate enough, I did the morning show there for a year and a half with Jack Jones, anyone remembers his name.
Great guy.
Then I moved on to do the 6 with Jay Johnson.
Yep.
Everybody loved Jay.
Everybody.
And then I moved on when we really did become Fox 11 to work with Tom Milburn. Everybody knows him. So
yep.
I was working with him at 5 and 9. There you go. Those are my Green Bay days.
Beautiful. And what do you do now? We all know here at Civic Media, but tell everybody else what you do.
I do social media for musicians, and I am pretty much the everything person at Civic Media, which I like. I don't like to be put in a little box because I don't play well in the box by myself.
Well, that's good.
And a growing company like this with 21 stations that is, you know—
Needs somebody like you.
It does. That's kind of wants to know and wants to work a little bit of everything because you just don't have silos at this stage of the game.
Need those utility players. They can play first base.
You got to get out of those silos for sure.
No, you got to play all bases. So, And thanks for doing that. We hear your name all the time when we.
We do.
Hey, were you at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Banquet that night?
No, we had a Max Sync radio show live on air that night.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that.
The award that we won for WISS, the promo, was actually, I accepted the award, but that was a Terry Barr, Todd Michaels invention and production. So the two of us put that together. We came up with the concept. Terry wrote it. We voiced it. I put all the audio together. I love working with her. And I have to tell you, Terry, I've been searching online for some old pictures from Channel 11. Because you had had the 90s hair, and I can't quite find it. Otherwise, I would share it on our stream.
You know, Todd probably could have photoshopped her picture in with the award, but no, it was just him.
Yeah, you could have done that.
Yeah.
It's all about Todd. Then he asked. So you got one award, went up on stage, of course, you know, and Johnny and I are just sitting there. But then he asked the guy if he could get two more. So he wants to have them in one in Oshkosh, one in Green Bay, probably one in his car.
Yeah, nice. I love that. We're starting big right away. So we got to just keep that going.
Absolutely.
And one of the features I love to do, and I hope you guys enjoy these, is the Slice of Wisconsin.
Yes. So talk about that, please.
Every single one. I'm learning something new. You know, you live here, you know, most of your life. You move away, come back. You think you know everything. But, no, the current slice that's running, I don't know if you've had a chance to hear it. It's about traffic cones.
No.
Did you know?
We have them. We have plenty
all
of them.
All over.
And that's kind of why I thought, you know, construction season and traffic cones. Wisconsin product.
Are they really?
Yeah, made in Oshkosh.
I didn't know that.
And the traffic cone is like more than 100 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great?
That's phenomenal.
The other one, the new one I'm working on, and I thought this was pretty good timing too. I don't know. Did you like to play skee ball when you went to the fair or a festival or something?
All the time. You know, it's the same thing you got at Papa John's, right? Where you roll the ball and you got the little different things.
Oh,
I
like that.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. I love that game.
Yeah, me too.
That's a Wisconsin invention?
110 years old.
Wow. Where was that made?
That is made at Baytech in Pulaski.
He's picked up some hardware.
Yeah, that's big time, that place.
He's really done a good job of growing that. Treats the employees really, really well out there.
Yes.
Hey, that
Oshkosh manufacturing the cones. So do they, their cones, they must export out of the state. Do they do cones all over the country?
Yeah, they do.
That's a huge company then. Wow.
I know. Yeah, they are one of the biggest. Yep.
Had no idea.
No.
Those are made in Wisconsin.
I know.
And
this is kind of fun.
It's kind of like
now we're coming up on June Dairy Month. Sorry, you guys. Coming up on June Dairy Month. So I'll find some fun dairy ones for you. How about that?
That would be great.
No, I'm just thinking that guy who sells the Oshkosh cones is like Henry Ford when he came out with his with the first Model T. It's like, what color can you get? Black? Anything else? Black? So it's orange. Orange.
Good point. Good point.
He hasn't changed it.
No, not a lot of design work in there. They don't have a department.
Wow. I like it. What else you want to promote, Terry Barr?
We have a Maxing special this weekend. That is the live music program that is on all across the Civic Media Radio Network. But we're really excited because we love our Live in the Lair segment. And that's always an artist, their band, whatever, comes in for an entire hour and plays music and talks about their life and tells us about their songs. And we love it so much, we decided to do a Live in the Lair marathon for Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time with Rocker at the Whammies.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
He is. Boy, we're just talking earlier today about people who know the industry. Rocker, if you had to picture a musician that
from the 60s aficionado that knew everybody where every skeleton is.
He would be on the front page.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is exactly it. Did he tell you? Okay, so cut me off when we need to go, but his mom So we're talking about Rucker Smith, who books a lot of festivals around the Madison area. And he's my co-host on Max Inc. Radio, one of my co-hosts. And he was growing up in New York City, but they had a chance to move out here for work. His mom ran the bowling alley in Waukesha when Cheap Trick was discovered.
And Cheap Trick is Jim's favorite band of all time, right? Isn't it?
No.
Who's your favorite band of all time? What'd you say was your favorite band that you used to listen to in your Super B?
Super Tramp.
Oh, Super Tramp. Oh, okay. Never mind.
It had a time.
I always get those two mixed
up. Okay, and I can see that.
Yeah.
But Super Tramp, cover band, they played at the Whammies.
They were phenomenal.
They were really, really good. And they're coming to the Meyer, too. Hey, that Dairy Month, we're talking to somebody about that. These breakfast on the farms, you know, John and I worked so many of those when we had, different jobs and serving the stuff. And, you know, just to have 6,000 people all eating scrambled eggs that are so heavy because they put all that, just a lot
they're
of.
They're delicious, though.
They are.
Those breakfasts are phenomenal.
That's sponsored by the heart surgeons in Green Bay. No, I'm just kidding.
Keep them in business.
It should be, yeah. My parents were Farm Bureau members, so they worked every breakfast on the farm in Shawnee County that I can remember.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And those are kicking off. Yeah. You said June is,
Dairy Month.
June is Dairy Month.
June is Dairy Month. There is already a breakfast on the farm in southern Wisconsin this weekend.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, that's very cool. Oh, I know who we're talking to. Malene.
That's what it was.
She's actually coming in next week.
Oh, okay. Malene from Channel 5. She does the morning show.
And she lives on a farm, doesn't
live
she?
Live at 5. Yeah, she works at her and her husband and that. And she talked about hosting those.
That's what it was.
And how much work it is to get ready for something like that. I mean, people don't realize that, huh, Terry, what that takes?
No. And you know what I always thought was the funniest part? The pan that they bring in to make those scrambled eggs is like the size of a bed.
Right. Oh, yeah. And everybody's stirring it with these oars, you know, because there's huge. Yeah. Yeah. Those guys work hard. I mean, it's.
Yeah. But, and it's all volunteer.
Yeah. I know.
I was at one time. You know what they were using was ostrich eggs.
No.
Yes. They all got around.
Here comes Mino. Let's just tell them these are ostrich eggs.
And they were taking a drill and drilling into it. God. And they'd pour this stuff up. They were using ostrich eggs. I'm not kidding about this.
Was it good? Did you have some?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Okay. John, breakfast
on
the farm.
Did they run out of regular eggs?
I don't know.
Did they raise
the size of a football.
I know what ostrich eggs are. Did they raise ostriches on that farm?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's the only way they would have even used one of them. I don't think so.
They did.
John needs to ask more questions.
Yes.
Terry, I was there.
The expense alone. No.
Why would I make up something like that? Why would I make up something like that?
You didn't. I don't think you made it up. I think those guys pulled the wool over your eyes. They say, here comes Mino. Let's tell him these are ostrich eggs. He will never believe that. Yeah, Mino, he will. You've been living with this.
I actually think it's one of your dreams that you have those really weird dreams.
Johnny has weird dreams.
I think you dreamt this sometime. Yes,
we now.
Yeah. Because I've never heard of that, John.
No, John.
Can somebody back me
John,
up?
I've been to, how many?
Please text I bet you I've been to 20.
Yeah, I bet you I've been to, 15, 16.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I was on the county board. Close to 20.
Because when I was at IXX, we used to do every year, we'd do remotes from those places. Yeah.
And then that other guy who was another radio guy.
Mike Austin.
He was great.
Mike helped me get started in TV.
Oh, no kidding.
How about that? Yeah.
Boy, did he.
I worked at WIXX before you did, Mino.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that, Terry.
Yeah, my first job out of college.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. On the air? On the air at IXX?
I worked with, because I grew up on a dairy farm, I worked with Mike, so I did do some reports for him, and then I was doing commercials and production and promotions.
Oh, cool. If you can contact Mike Austin, ask him if he's ever seen them use ostrich eggs at farm days. Please ask him that. I need somebody to verify
He's
going to
make
this.
Some pun about it and some joke. No, it's, okay. All right, if you get the time.
We're having a bet, Jim.
Do we have
$100 bet? You and me. $100.
Okay.
Terry's going to be the verifier. Terry,
I love this.
Whoever wins, you give it to whatever charity of your choice. So you can't lose on this.
Okay, just wait. Now, what's the question? Johnny always, and then he changes the question once we get the answer. So, at that breakfast on the farm, were they using ostrich eggs instead of chicken eggs.
Has Mike Austin ever seen...
No, that's not the same question. Yeah, of course he's seen it. The guy's seen everything.
Has
that guy's
he ever seen Breakfast on the Farms using ostrich eggs?
The answer is going to be... In his 40 years of covering that, I would say one of them maybe did that. But
that's
not, no, it's not. He said, went to Breakfast on the Farm.
Then he wins.
Okay. I win. Thank you,
I'm not taking a bet.
Oh, what a wuss.
You said, Todd, you said, I'll ask a couple of questions, and then Todd and I will confer on which one is the one you guys have to answer.
I just want to say, and we got it on tape, but John said he went to a Breakfast on the Farm, and they were using ostrich eggs. So, and I'm like.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and you said
and
no,
said,
that never happened.
And no chicken
he
eggs.
He tried
and
it,
no chicken
so we
eggs.
Know they were making them in
no
the pan.
I'm not saying they didn't use chicken eggs, but maybe they ran out, or maybe they, you know, they thought, well, hey, we got these ostrich eggs. Let's use these. They taste the same, and we get like 20 meals out of one egg. Yes. Terry, you have to research this for us.
I will
get this for you. Yes, this is going to be fun, especially if there's money for charity involved.
$100 charity of your choice.
You got it.
Thank you.
Okay, now I'm excited to do my research.
So, Terry, just so you know, in 2 weeks when you're back on with us, okay, let's have the answer on that, and that's when we'll do the presentation.
That's the definitive answer.
Yep.
Okay.
I love it.
I don't know that I really put up $100. That's not the question that I was. I'm not going to bet on that. That horse has a
spineless.
I don't know.
What was the old term in politics? A quizzling? Remember the term quizzling?
Yeah.
Yeah, where the guy would be like, oh, whatever. He was like the president of Denmark, and he's like, oh, we were not going to put up with the Nazis. And the Nazis come in and it's like, the Nazis aren't so bad.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. That's who you are. Okay, I'm going to call you Jimmy Quisling from now on.
No. Yes. Oh, no.
Mino and the Quisling.
Terry, bring some more of that interesting businesses in Wisconsin.
Yes.
That is really, really cool that we...
You guys.
I didn't know that. I
love this.
I love that, too.
So, I learned two things this morning I never knew.
Wow.
Terry, be a regular.
That's it for the year.
Thanks, guys.
Terry Barr, listen to your show coming up all weekend long right here on Civic Media. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mirror. This segment brought to you once again by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I'll tell you what, Jim has them, and Jim thinks they are phenomenal. They've saved him money both in the summer and in the winter. They keep it warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And when you've got an old house like you have and there's no air conditioning ducts, that is so incredibly important.
That is, but really any house, right?
I mean,
you want to, utilities are, and they're going up again, right? Didn't I read something about that?
They don't often go down, do they? As far as I know.
I mean, they go in at it's not like you can shop around your utilities.
No.
I mean, you're getting it from.
Here's what it is.
And that's what it is. So then they have to go and they have to go to the, who oversees the utilities? What commission is that?
Utility commission, I think.
Energy?
Energy. There's only three people on there.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you have to buy two votes.
All right.
So anyway, no, but they... Pella just, and I told you, when
very important aspect to your house.
When we did that in our house, leaked a lot of hot air. Not me, John.
No, not at all.
No, it was the inside.
But another thing, too, when we had the real estate people, Deanna and that Ben from Malcor, they talked about curb appeal, number one thing. Remember what it was?
Windows and doors.
Windows and doors.
Yeah.
First thing that people look at.
And Pella's got some really, they don't, in their advertising, I listen, it's all windows, but they have some awesome doors.
Beautiful
stuff.
I mean,
it's, they different kind of glasses. And so
give
anyway,
a call,
yeah.
Get a free consultation.
And that interesting, I kind of sent them a text one time. I was, how I enjoyed my Pella windows, but I did say, wish you would have had the free financing when I bought mine.
Yeah,
I think that's
phenomenal.
Cool for four years. No, it's just
incredible. Anyway. Boy, do we have some good guests today.
That was fun. And I when we were talking, they not only knew their business, they knew
they're passionate.
Well, and they knew their industry.
Yeah.
You know, it was more than just this lane of, I know real estate, or I know, you know, what's going on in my district. I mean, Brian knows things going out. You know, he was very knowledgeable on the tiny homes.
Everything.
You know,
the whole thing.
That's nice when people take the time to really learn
and
more.
Kristen
about,
from Guaranteed Rate Mortgage. Yeah. It was just great what they're doing for veterans. Yeah. Steve Swan, former assistant coach of Dick Benedict.
That guy was great.
Green Bay, he was awesome. Terry Barr, she's just, I just wish she had some spunker personality.
Yeah, just a little energy.
Just doesn't, come on, Terry, wake up. Come on now. Yeah.
So
that's a fun job she has. I want that job if she ever gives it up.
She, it's kind of like the old Charles Carroll stuff,
know.
Right?
Yeah. Digging almost like in, a finding Discover Wisconsin type thing. Yep. I've always wanted a job like that.
And she's so good at it because she finds the interesting
Charles Carroll?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, his back to the backside of his story.
I think.
That was funny reading that book.
You would be a good Charles Carroll.
But it was just funny reading the book because he talks about favorite place to visit is my cabin in Montana.
Right. It's just secluded, a beautiful, and there's a feeling there of just, you know.
Serenity.
Right, serenity, yet you're part of the
nature.
Just all this stuff about how just beautiful that was.
I go there every chance I get.
Yeah, every chance I get when I'm driving. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the motorhome up there because it's just, the beauty there is just something you can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't mention he also had a lady on the side who was living there and then sued him for everything because he didn't leave it to her in his will. Which was somewhat shocking to everybody that knew Charles Carroll. That's the main reason he enjoyed going to Montana. Or one of the main reasons he was.
But, you know, Wisconsin, you know, with what she does and Terry does in Wisconsin, there are some cool things that we do here. I didn't know about that cone thing. I thought that was cool.
I had no idea.
We make a ton of the military. But
I didn't know about the thing in Pulaski either. I know they make a lot of great toys. I thought it was all electronic, you know, electrical.
Yeah. Well, yes.
And that's where the old school... You know what?
Well, that's electric, though.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's not.
It's
like
not
computer.
Like a new. It's okay. Yeah. Oh, not, yeah.
You know what? You know what I am better at than anybody I know.
Oh, jeez. Has anyone ever said that? You know what I'm better at than anyone
Jim,
I know.
You've never said that before.
Well, besides me. Okay, go ahead, John. Okay.
Who makes the best homemade pizzas in the world?
Well, I do.
Okay, that's what I mean. Yeah. So, whack-a-mole.
Oh, you did.
I got banned. I told this story before. Jeez. I got banned at Great America because I won 14 times in a row.
Wow.
We got a picture of Dom in the back seat when he was like 3, and you could just see his head because the entire back seat was filled with teddy bears. 14 in a row.
What's the trick to that? You must just see the slightest movement.
Yep. Peripheral vision.
Temper.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if they adjusted the game after you. This guy was winning too much, and they made it a little more.
Well,
because
what it was,
faster.
You were only allowed to win like 4 times in a row, I think, at each station, where they say, hey, folks, you're not allowed, okay? Right. So then I'd go to the next one, and I'd win 4, and then on the next one, I'd win whatever, and that's, yeah. True. Well, honestly, I'm not making that up in the slightest.
I can see winning that game, because there's
I'm just saying, that's the one thing in the world I'm better at than anybody else. That and NFL quarterbacks, which you won't even allow me to... pursue. But what if we did this, Jim, just to put some fun into it?
I just said, tell the listeners what you proposed, and I said, I don't think that's fun.
Okay. Because Jim is personification of fun. You think fun, you think Jim Schmidt.
That hurt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And but you're off for the next 3 days, so I'll take it. I can forget about all this.
Yeah. All right. But it'd be, I got to talk to Mike Daniels at Nicolet, see if he still wants to do this. We would do 10 a day. And as soon as he loses $1,000, we're done with the thing. It would start out with the first person would give a quarterback, okay? Although my buddy said he would do that too.
Any quarterback from 1959.
Who was on an NFL regular season roster since 1957. If I get it wrong, you win $100. And we'd go up to $1,000, okay? Then we do a next one. Okay, you'd win $200. Okay, got that one. Next one would be $300. And if I get it wrong, that's what the person wins. Up to $1,000. Mike gave us a budget of $1,000. What would you think about that?
Okay, and for people who are thinking, oh, I'm going to call in because I know Jim Zorn. I know they used to.
Pomona.
I see. John gets none of these, and I do spend more time than I'd like to with him, but we go.
But I will stump
you.
Somebody
know,
will stump me.
I don't think so.
They will.
I would bet on you.
There's got to be 500 quarterbacks.
Yep.
So one of them is going to stump me. I guarantee it. Because you know what I have trouble with sometimes? Utah versus Utah State. North Carolina versus North Carolina State. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, it's Utah. Well, it's actually Utah State. So I do struggle with some of those. I'll be honest with you. And there's some very obscure ones. So I don't think I'd go undefeated. I think somebody would win a lot of money. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. Okay, well, whatever. They're not putting up any money. So the only one putting up money is Mike Daniels.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to be a part of it. You could take that whole segment off. Go have another cup of coffee. Go fill your parking meter or
something. I just don't think it's going to be exciting.
Okay. Yeah, the chance for somebody to win $1,000 is not very exciting
on
the radio.
That is, but... Oh. All right, well, let's do it. I mean, that's...
Oh, we got your blessing.
Well, no, I'm just saying we...
Thank you.
Okay.
10 months in the radio business, and I got your blessing. Thank you.
Okay.
Those 40 years I put in are inconsequential. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Do you think we should do it, folks? What did the mayor say?
See, those are the good old days.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So where are you going? On vacation?
I'm not going to say, because then everybody will come there and hang out with
autographs
me. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be pretty low-key. Got to see if my brother gets his pump fix at the deer camp.
Oh, that sounds like fun. All right. We're going to miss you.
Yeah, you won't. All right. Have a good time. I will be in.
John, I will.
I'll miss you too.
See you Tuesday.
And you, Amanda. Hey, Amanda, I'm going to miss you. So you know.
Happy Memorial Day to your listeners.
Thank you. I won't be speaking, but one of my great friends, Chuck Wellens, is speaking at the O'Connell Falls ceremony coming up on Monday morning in O'Connell Falls. I will definitely be there for their ceremony for Memorial Day.
Awesome.
So there you go. Hey, thanks, everybody. I will see you again on Tuesday. Have yourselves a phenomenal weekend. See ya.